On this episode of the World of CONCACAF podcast, we head to South America. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It is the World of CONCACAF podcast. Excited to be back. This is Eric Schmitz.
And this is Donald Wine.
And unfortunately, Jonathan couldn't join us tonight, but we wanted to make sure that we got you some content. You know, it's been a minute. We had some technical difficulties recording our last episode. So, and honestly, I just missed seeing Donald's face on my Zoom screen. So I figured we had to record tonight. Donald, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I am. We're recording this the week of April 23rd. I am going to Detroit for the NFL draft. So I am pumped.
It is April in the D.
Yeah, April in the D. Yes, that's right. In more ways than one. So I am super excited to get back home, get maybe a few hundred Coney dogs, and watch a draft. That'll be actually interesting.
Yeah, that'll be cool. We've got this nice little like lull in between international windows, while the general world club season is like in its, you know, final stages, like it's the race to the finish now. Obviously in the US it's kind of different, but yeah, until that June international window for the men, and I know the women have a window coming up. We're just hanging out, ready for the return of CONCACAF. You know, World Cup qualifying is not long away. We're almost right there. But it's been a minute since we've done a laser focus. We haven't really like dove down into the nations of CONCACAF in a minute.
Well, what happened is in Dallas or in Frisco, all the lasers were pointed at the goalkeepers, so we couldn't do a laser focus. That's really why we had to get new lasers, so we can focus in on the country.
CONCACAF has a conflicted relationship with lasers, but we're here to laser focus on one of our member nations, and for this one we chose Guyana. So let's just get going. We're gonna dive into Guyana, because you might be asking yourself, why is there a South American country in our CONCACAF? And we're going to talk about it. Just some background on the history of Guyana. Guyana, of course, located on the northeast corner of South America. The name Guyana comes from the indigenous word for land of many waters. And they got some rivers and stuff like that. Notably, it's the only mainland South American country to speak English as its first language. So,
yeah, it's really interesting, especially considering the influence that the English have had in a lot of South America. I mean, not necessarily like colonizing places, but at least having their foot in everything, the Falklands and things like that. But it's interesting that they're the only ones that kept English or caught English.
Yeah. And speaking of, obviously, the story of a lot of these countries comes from colonization. Guyana, like the land's history, dates back thousands of years. There were indigenous folks there. And then the colonial era hit and European exploration came. The Dutch were the first to establish colonies there. The British arrived in the region around the same time and eventually took control through treaties and stuff. But like a lot of other countries, Guyana became like a hub for cash crops. And during this era, a lot of African slave trade really influenced the population growth there. Slavery was actually abolished in British Guyana, as it was called then, in the 1830s. And that changed the country a bit. While they had abolished slavery, there was laborers from other parts of the world that were brought in, so it became this very diverse group there. Guyana remained a British colony known as British Guiana up until the 1960s. In 1966, British Guiana became an independent nation within the Commonwealth and was renamed Guiana.
I will say real quick, if you know, if everyone out there knows, there's French Guiana. And then even like locally, you're saying Guiana as well. And that I believe is correct. But what's also correct is Guyana, because okay. They kind of wanted to differentiate from French Guiana. Because I don't know if this happened to you, but growing up, a lot of places, they would just consider those like two of the same country, right? Like, people, like when your teacher would teach geography, they would say Guiana and then French Guiana. And people just assumed that, oh, there was just like one big nation that just kind of split in half. And that's not the case when it comes to like how, you know, Guyana and French Guiana came to be. They're completely separate, completely separate histories of how they came to be.
Yeah. And like, I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, obviously I hadn't considered it as I was saying it, but that's kind of what we're here doing, is kind of learning more about what these countries are all about. And there are differences. Obviously, French Guiana, it's an overseas department of France. It's still part of France.
Right.
Guyana, formerly British Guiana, it's independent now. So they are, while they're right there next to each other, like, there are differences. But yeah, going back, independence in the 1960s, there's been political challenges in the country since independence, as you do with a lot of new nations. Some democratic reforms. There's that little Jonestown thing that some of you might know about. And today, Guyana, it's just popping off. So, fun fact, Guyana is literally the fastest growing economy on the planet right now. It's been for the last 2 years. They discovered some offshore oil reserves. ExxonMobil back in 2015 found a whole bunch of oil, and Guyana's economy has just been booming ever since. And I don't know if you guys had seen, there was a viral video going around about a politician there talking to a British press about, you know, we're living in an age of climate change awareness and, you know, fossil fuels. And the politician from Guyana was very strong in suggesting, it's like, we've protected our environment. We are the ones that have been offsetting the world's fossil fuel problem. And now you're getting mad at us for, you know, taking advantage of what we have found. Like, we're the ones actually like doing this right. And I mean, for a country like Guyana with the history that it's got, to have this kind of, you know, influx of wealth, it's really unlike a lot of other countries in the region. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Guyana grows from here. Now, and Donald, I'm going to lean on you to talk about the culture, but it seems like while they're actually part of South America, they've always felt very Caribbean. How would you describe that influence?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great way to lead into between the history and the culture you kind of described. And the history that you described kind of leads into why it feels very Caribbean. And if there's a reason why, Guyana is in the Caribbean Football Union, because its culture is very similar to that of English speaking Caribbean, has been tied more with the Caribbean nations in their history than its South American neighbors. It's not like they were doing trade with Brazil and Paraguay and Venezuela. They were, coupled up with Trinidad and Tobago, Barbados, that sort of thing. So
they don't necessarily have the best relationship with Venezuela right now. There's the whole disputed territory. I believe it's Essequibo.
Which apparently is very rich in natural gas resources.
Yeah. And
money.
So they don't necessarily have the best neighbors relationship with Venezuela right now. So the fact that they can't, in Venezuela, you know, that's a South American country. You don't think of them as Caribbean. Guyana obviously embraces the Caribbean Brotherhood.
Yeah. And also, when you think about the footballing history of these nations, we've talked about this when we've done other countries in this little portion of the world. All of them identify football wise as well more with the Caribbean than they do with South America. And that's why they're not a part of CONMEBOL. That's why they're a part of CONCACAF. And that's why they, you know, are in the Caribbean Football Union, the greatest sub-region in the world.
Oh, of course. And I mean, from CONMEBOL's perspective, so CONMEBOL was formed in 1916 just by Argentina, Brazil, Chile, and Uruguay. They had gotten all of their 10 members. Venezuela was the last one to join in 1952. So while Guyana, we'll talk more about like their federation, like their history, but Guyana wasn't joining FIFA until 1970. So by the time they were looking for a federation and ready to, you know, be part of the world's game, CONMEBOL was like, we don't need you.
We don't need you. We want you. Yeah.
Yeah. You go play with your island friends.
Yeah. So let's dig a little bit more into the culture of Guyana. Its population, it's funny enough, we'll talk about why, but it's one of the most sparsely populated countries in the entire world. Really, actually, when you look at a map, you think, oh, it's very, very small because you're looking at its neighbors, right? Particularly Brazil, which is a massive country. Mm-hmm. But it's actually quite big. I believe it's like the size of like Kentucky and Tennessee put together. So it's not overly huge, but it's not small. 817,000 and change live in the country, of which 118,000 live in the capital and largest city, Georgetown. Of course, Georgetown, most famous among Americans for the Jonestown massacre, the cult that was there and all the stuff that happened there back in the 70s. The official language, as you mentioned, English. They also have 10 indigenous languages that are official languages. The local vernacular, though, is Guyanese Creole. Guyanese Creole, Guyanese Hindustani, Portuguese, Dutch, Spanish, Chinese. Those are kind of the local vernacular languages that are spoken widely. The Creole in Guyana is close enough to that of like Trinidad and Tobago or Barbados. And we'll talk about Barbados in just a little bit. Now, I mentioned that their influence is very Caribbean. And just like a lot of the Caribbean countries, their influence is a blend of Indian and African influences. Indian, 40% of the country identify as Indian. 30% of the country identify as African or Black. So, and then 20% biracial. So there's a lot of people who are in this world and their influence are really heavily leaned upon when it comes to Guyana. Now, the thing about Guyana, the reason why it's very sparsely populated is because it has one of the highest levels of biodiversity in the entire world. It's 80% forest. And the forest that they have is absolutely spectacular. And it is something that actually scientists go to Guyana often, because Guyana is home to some of the most unique beauty on the planet. First of all, they have mountains. And the mountains that they have, a couple of the mountains, Mount Rurugema, mm-hmm. Is basically the inspiration, or known to be the inspiration, for Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's The Lost World. Think Jurassic Park. The Lost World, the second movie, was based on that. So when you think about Jurassic Park, think about that beauty and equate that to Guyana. Pyatar Falls is the largest single-drop waterfall in the world. It's 822 feet tall. Eric, you're from Buffalo. Niagara Falls is mm-hmm. like a third of the size of Kyoto Falls. And yes, wow. It only produces like a third of the volume of water. And think about how much water falls into Niagara Falls, both in the Canadian and the American side. Absolutely wow. A massive amount of water there. And obviously it generates a lot of biodiversity. Home to 225 species of mammals, 900 species of birds, 888 species of reptiles, and more than 8,000 different species of plants, half of which are found nowhere else on the planet. Amongst this wildlife, you have the arapaima, which is the world's largest scaled freshwater fish. Obviously, that is, it's I think it's protected now, but it used to be a big source of their food. They have the giant anteater, the largest anteater in the world, the giant otter, which is the world's largest otter, and the Guyanan cock of the rock bird, which kind of looks like a peacock. But yes, it is called cock of the rock. I didn't write this down. I read it.
Sounds like chicken to me.
It's peacock, but yes, chicken. Yeah. Same thing. Yeah. Shout out our boy Ray. The main economic generators, other than natural gas and crude oil, which has obviously blossomed over the last couple of years, agriculture, demerara rice and sugar. I'm sorry, demerara sugar and rice. Those are the kind of the two things that they can grow the most. Obviously, they have some mining there, bauxite and gold, timber, seafood, and other minerals that they can find there. Major sports, cricket, basketball, soccer, and volleyball. And of course, what we like to talk about, the national rum, El Dorado Demerara rum. I have not had it. Need to try it. I think it's available in the United States. So
we should just go. We could just go too.
That's cool too. Yeah. The national beer, Eric, you know this beer, as do I. It is Banks, which is the national beer of Barbados. Banks, I believe, was founded in Guyana, and then they moved their operations to Barbados. So it is the national beer of both countries. So that's a little bit on the culture of Guyana.
Interesting. Now, we talked about the culture. It seems like it shares, you know, many characteristics with, you know, countries in the region, but really it's the soccer that we're here to talk about. Mm-hmm. Donald, do you want to give us some background about soccer in Guyana?
Yeah, so there's not a lot, just like a lot of these smaller countries, there's not a ton of history that you can go off of from regards to the soccer federations. But the federation, the Guyana Football Federation, was founded in 1902. So it's one of the older ones in CONCACAF, which is unlike some of the other nations where they kind of had their federations kind of start a little bit later.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of that has to do with the fact it was a British colony. So, of course, they're going to have the British game come over. So you wonder how much influence that had on like how the sport grew in the region, is that this was one of the early like places that played the game.
Right. And as you mentioned, it was a British colony until the mid 60s. That, of course, is when they became independent. They joined FIFA in 1970, and it is believed that they joined CONCACAF around that time. They give the rough range of 1968 to 1971. So it was around that time they joined both FIFA and CONCACAF.
Isn't that the most CONCACAF thing ever, that we have no idea when a country actually joined the damn group?
Right. It's like, oh, when did you join? Oh, you do you know? No. Yeah. I thought you would know. But you're the ones that admitted us.
They played a game in 1971. We know that.
Where's the snail letter? Who made a copy of that?
When did they start showing up to the meetings? Like, right. Nobody knows.
Who's that over there in the corner? Oh, that's that Guyana person. Oh, cool. Yeah. I didn't know they were here. So, yes, they joined in around 1970, and they've been involved with CONCACAF and FIFA ever since. They have one top flight league for the men. It is the GFF Elite League. They also have a bunch of regional leagues. And basically, if you're not in the Elite League, you kind of go down to one of these regional leagues and play there. And from there, they have some weird promotion relegation where one team from the regional leagues gets promoted, another team from the top gets relegated. They also do have a women's league. Not a lot of information about the women's domestic league, but they do have one. And their cups, they have one major cup, the Guyana Mayor's Cup, which is contested every single year.
Yeah, so we don't have a lot of information on the women's league, but the women's national team, the Lady Jags, honestly, for, you know, countries of this stature within the region, pretty solid squad. So recently we just had the W Gold Cup. While Guyana's women's team did not qualify for this, they actually did make it to the playoffs out of the Road to W Gold Cup qualification. They had won their group in League B, advanced to the playoffs. They won 5 out of their 6 games to get to that playoff, and they ended up losing a 1-0 result to Dominican Republic, who got to move on to the tournament. Now, while the women's national team, they haven't qualified for a Women's World Cup yet. They haven't qualified for an Olympic Games. They did qualify for the CONCACAF W Championship back in 2010. They did not win a game, so they're still looking to grow there. But look, like many of the countries in the region, they pull, you know, the diaspora from across the region. So there's a lot of players who play in Canada and the U.S. who make up that roster. But right now, when you're talking about FIFA rankings, they're currently ranked 90th. So they are a top 100 team. The highest rank they've ever had is 76, and the lowest is actually 92. So Guyana's women's team, the Lady Jags, solid squad. And with this influx of cash into the region, you would assume that there might be an influx of growth in the game. Now, you can also say that about the men's national team, the Golden Jaguars. Two solid CONCACAF nicknames for our national team. So shout out Guyana there. As you mentioned, they have had a team going back to the early 20th century. Right now, the manager is Jamal Shabazz from Trinidad. He's from Trinidad and Tobago. This is actually his fourth stint managing the national team. So I don't know if he's just always there or if like they just keep going back to him because he seems like, I don't know. Currently ranked 154th in the world in the FIFA rankings. Their highest ranking ever was 86 back in November 2010. I think the main headline for this, their national team right now, is Omari Glasgow. So Omari Glasgow is a 20-year-old attacker. He's currently with the Chicago Fire of MLS, playing with their second team right now. Just was awarded the Golden Boot for the 2023-24 CONCACAF Nations League. He carried the team. Guyana has been promoted to League A after going 5-0 in their League B group. 5-0 because of their match against Bahamas was just canceled for some reason. CONCACAF. They just didn't play the game. But Omari is...
Wait, was this in the fall?
Yeah, it was the last game of the group. I have to go
back and look at it. It was the hurricane. It was the hurricane that went through. And remember, we were like, oh, half of these games might get canceled. I think that one was preemptively postponed.
Yeah, I mean, Bahamas was already getting relegated.
Mm-hmm.
Guyana was already getting promoted. Like, they didn't need to play. But Omari's got 22 caps, 16 goals. He is 20 years old, and he is the third all-time leading scorer for the country. Like, this guy is going to put up numbers. He's going to be a legend for their national team. Their greatest achievement within CONCACAF, they did qualify for the 2019 Gold Cup after their finish in the CONCACAF Nations League qualifying, which was done before the first CONCACAF Nations League. They finished third in Group D behind the U.S. and Panama. Some of you might remember that game up in Minnesota. It was a U.S. 4-0 win in the group stage there. They did get a draw against Trinidad, so they did get a result in that group and finished third. But that is their only Gold Cup they have qualified for. They've never qualified for a World Cup. In 2022, they were actually suspended by FIFA because of executive issues. Like, the federation was suspended, so they had to withdraw from qualifying. They were supposed to face Antigua and Barbuda, and Antigua got a walkover win in 2022 qualifying. Oddly enough, Antigua did not qualify for that World Cup either. Guyana's also best Caribbean Cup performance, 1991. They finished fourth in that Caribbean Cup, fourth place, winning one of their four games. So not great, but a couple of group stage appearances. But as we said, a lot of potential, a lot of growth, especially with the influx of cash with this federation and program.
I think the main thing is that on the CONCACAF level, at least, they may not be doing much to get to some of these tournaments, but at least on the CONCACAF level, they're steadily starting to show some fight. Like you mentioned, they're up in League A now with Omari Glasgow kind of leading the charge as a young kid. They maybe have a couple of guys waiting behind him to help kind of boost the core. I think their next step is kind of, you know, improve the core of the team so that they can have a group that they can kind of hopefully ride to a lot of success over the next decade.
Yeah, and I didn't mention, they were one of the CONCACAF teams to participate in the FIFA series back in March.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, CONCACAF going, taking on the world. They went to Saudi Arabia. They took a 1-0 defeat to Cape Verde and got a 4-1 victory over Cambodia. So you know what? Suck it, Cambodia. You know, cock a calf. So yeah, they're getting promoted to League A for CONCACAF Nations League. The draw is coming up soon. Maybe they get some results and move on to the quarterfinals, and maybe they get to play a country that we might travel to see. So who knows? World Cup qualifying, CONCACAF Nations League, a lot of big games coming up for the Golden Jaguars. I think we should take a break. Because
let's take a break.
Because after the break, I think you know what's happening. You know what's happening. You know what time it is. Okay. Welcome back. It's that time. It is time for the internet's greatest regional confederation game show on a podcast. It is time for Real Team or Fake Team. Copyright World of CONCACAF podcast. So it's just me and Donald. I'm the contestant this time. It's my turn. So Donald has got six team names of teams that may or may not exist in Guyana. I have to decide if they're actually real teams or if they're fake teams, and Donald made them up. Because it's CONCACAF, who knows? You have no idea from the sounds of it whether this is actually a real team or a fake team. So it's my job to guess. So, Donald, this is all you. All I get to do is guess. So take it away.
All right, here we go.
I don't like that you're hiding yourself. I can't see.
No, Donald's this is something right that now. Y'all did, and you guys said this is what we're going to do.
You're too so good I'm, at it. That's why.
I'm just returning the favor. I could do the stone face, but I'm not going to because it's just us. So fine. The first team is Winners Connection.
Winners Connection. No FC or anything like that?
No FC, just Winners Connection.
Winners Connection. I'm going fake team.
Winners Connection is a real team. They won the Upper Demerivision League in 2023. So just this past season.
So they were literally winners.
They were literally winners. So you are 0 for 1. No perfect score for you, but there's all still right. Plenty of time to make it up. The next one is Arapaima Warriors.
Arapaima Warriors. See, I didn't do enough research on like the regions to know if this was.
This is a callback to. Actually, I won't say anything.
I think this is fake.
Arapaima Warriors is a fake team. Yes. I was going to say Arapaima is a callback to the biggest salt fish, the freshwater fish in the world that is here, or at least in Guyana. So, yes, it's fake. So you're 1 for 2.
Well, see, I feel like this is like the multiple choice strategy where if you guess C for every single one of them, you're probably
going to get one right.
Of them right. All right.
Yep.
Well, we got one, so I'm not getting shut out. That's all that matters.
All right, you are 1 for 2. The next one is Den Amstel.
Den Amstel. Now, we know that there is Dutch history in the country. I believe there's a New Amsterdam town as well. So it's not completely out of left field. I'm going real team.
Den Amstel is a real team. They were sixth in the elite, they're currently sixth in the elite league this season. So you are 2 for 3.
All right, let's go.
2 for 3. All right. So the next one I have for you is Millerock.
Can you use it in a sentence?
I Millerock on every block.
Is it spelled like it sounds? Millerock.
Very close, just one L.
Ooh, just one L. I'm going real team.
That was your final answer?
Yeah.
Based on spelling?
Yeah.
It's probably Mile Rock, but I said Billy Rock. It is a real team. Okay. They were 10th in the Elite League in 2023, and they were relegated to one of the regional leagues. Yeah. So you are now, 3 for 4?
Yep.
3 for 4. All right. Your next one is Demerara Sugar Kings.
Sugar Kings. See, I feel like this is you just playing on, like going back to the fish one, I feel like this is you just playing on, you know, the exports of the region. But, you know, Sugar Kings is a badass name. I'm going to go, wait, is Kings an S or a Z?
Is an S.
Fake team.
Demerara Sugar Kings is a fake team. That is correct. Demerara is the sugar that is used in the region, and also the rum that I mentioned, El Dorado Demerara rum. All right.
Rum guy.
Four for five. Four for five. Your final team is Georgetown FC.
Georgetown FC. That seems so obviously fake that it's probably real. I'm going real team.
Georgetown FC is a fake team. There is no Georgetown FC. Funny enough, there are a lot of teams that have the FC and they're based off of neighborhoods or towns. But right now, Georgetown, the largest city, does not have one named after the entire city. So you were 4 for 6, which is very, very good, Eric. Very, very good.
Yeah. Now, I will be honest. So when we do this game, we have to like try, if you're the one participating, like we parse out the research. So like the contestant gets to avoid a lot. And when it's just me and you, there were obviously things that I was going to see. So there's a team that I feel is like a real team, fake team, like Hall of Fame.
I'm waiting for you to say it. I'm waiting for you to say it.
No, I'm going to make you say it. But it's like, I saw this. I'm like, all right, this is it. Like, I have to play dumb if he plays this up. But it's like automatic, real team, fake team. This is exactly what the game is all about. Donald, are you thinking of the same team I'm thinking of?
Slingers FC.
Slingers FC. Can, Donald, can you tell me? S or Z?
With a Z. Yes. Slingers FC. And the funny thing is, you sent some of the, like, websites that we normally look at that have the leagues and stuff like that, and the first thing I clicked on, it was like Slingers FC. I was like, well, I shit, I can't use that. That would have been perfect. Another one I wanted to use that I couldn't, because I couldn't confirm if they were still around, was Top XX. TOPPXX. That is a real team. It's one of the more successful teams in Guyanese history. I just don't know if they still exist, because the last time they won, I believe, was like 2018 or something like that. So there were some pretty good names. Obviously, you had the Defense Force FC, Police Force FC. They of course have their teams, and then there is Fruta Conquerors. FRUTA. That was one that was on the same sheet you sent, so I couldn't use that one. Moneta Rust was one that was on there. Alpha United is the most successful team in history, and they do still exist. I almost used that, but again, it there were some that were obviously couldn't use, and then there were some that I was like, interesting. I could use that to maybe make fake teams. So I'm glad that I stumped you on a couple of them.
Yeah, no, I feel good about 4 for 6. But at some point, we should do some audit of CONCACAF to find out how many countries out of the 41 have teams called Defense Force or Police.
Oh, it's got to be, or Police, or in this case, both.
Yeah, like, I honestly think, like, maybe the U.S. and Canada, you know, might be the only ones that don't.
Well, to be fair, we have, in college, Navy, Army, Air Force, they all have teams.
That is very true. Man, that real team, fake team, when we get to the U.S., that is going to be a humdinger.
I'm not doing that one. Don't put me in. Don't put me in the seat for that.
We're gonna have to get a special guest for that one. All right. I feel good about 4 for 6. I feel good about this episode. Donald, do you want to tell people where they can find you?
Yeah. Online, you can find me at BlazerDW on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find me doing work at StarsAndStripesFC.com.
Yeah. And of course, Jonathan, you can follow him at JSlapeSSP, even though he's not on this podcast. We certainly think you should support his work and you should follow us. World of CONCACAF on social media is at PodCACAF, PODCACAF. On Twitter, we're still calling it Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and make sure you go to our Patreon and support the podcast, patreon.com/podcacaf. We will be posting the one more round bonus episode to go with this podcast there. So you'll be able to access it there. We really thank everybody who has supported us through the Patreon. We do have a new patron we want to shout out, Carl Meyer, who joined back in February. Really appreciate you. Thanks for your support, and thanks to everyone else who, you know, gives us love and helps us do this beautiful thing that we do. We'll be back with new episodes soon. Obviously got a busy summer ahead, but thank you for listening. Go Golden Jaguars. And yeah, Slingers FC. Like, that was it. That was it.
Slingers. We're ending with that. Slingers.
Yeah. Love Slingers.